Yeah. You saw my Yankees last night, but I'm sorry. Did you see Aaron Judge last night? 61. Yeah, it wasn't El Capitan. It wasn't the ultimate Derek Jeter, but damn it, we'll take it. Aaron Judge making history. We like that. We like that. But that's just part one. There's a bigger fish to fry here, okay? New York Yankees, stand up. It's about the World Series, baby. It's about championships, not single season home runs. Okay, we'll take it now. We'll take it now. But we want more, damn it. We want more. Oh, by the way, Dolphins, Bengals playing tonight. Brady and Mahomes, Eagles, are they the team to beat? There's a whole bunch of stuff coming up, okay? I got a bunch of people waiting for me in the house, all right? And Molly, well, she don't want to act like she waiting, but she waiting too. First taking out. Let's go.
Number 99 chasing number 9.
People are going to keep saying every game, you know, you're on pace for this, on pace for that.
It is gone, number 61.
The home run king, Roger Maris.
There it goes, number 60.
When you know you're real close to something, you're going to try and gun for it.
See ya, he's done it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs.
All rise, the only thing I was waiting for was that right there. Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. Stephen A. is in L.A. Good morning, sir. How we doing?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm excellent. Dan Orlovsky will be here in just a minute. MLB insider Jeff Passan joining us now as we witnessed history last night, and that's where we will begin. Yankee star Aaron Judge hits his 61st home run of the season, tying Roger Maris's mark in an 8-3 win in Toronto. Aaron, how are you feeling?
Only some relief. Getting to 61, you know, you try not to think about it, but it creeps into your head. When I hit it, I thought I got enough, you know, but it's been a couple games since I did that, you know, so you never really know if it's going to get out or not. So I tried to sprint around the bases a little bit, and then once it got over the fence, you know, just relief that, you know, now we're leading in the game. And also, you know, like I said, getting a chance to, you know, tie Roger Maris, that's stuff you you dream about. That it's not even real.
With number 61 under his belt, Judge looks to continue hitting homers. The Yankees have 7 games left in the season, and if Judge were to play all 7, he would be on pace for 63 home runs, which would be tied for the 6th most in a season in MLB history. Let's bring in Jeff Passan now. Good morning, Jeff. Great to see you. I know you enjoyed it all last night. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. I want to start here, though. What are the chances Judge is not, sorry, Stephen A., a Yankee next season?
Well, a lot of that depends, Molly, on the New York Yankees. And we need to look at it in this context. The New York Yankees are the Dallas Cowboys of baseball. They are the Los Angeles Lakers of baseball. They are the team with the most revenue coming into their coffers every year. They are the team that should then thus have the highest payroll. Every year, they don't have the highest payroll in their own city right now. And the embarrassment that would wash over this franchise if the guy who they raised in their farm system, who they drafted and developed, who they saw turn into a superstar in New York City, then suddenly left in free agency because the Yankees weren't going to pay him enough, would be about as low an nadir as I can remember for the New York Yankees. So my belief, just out of that logic alone, that the New York Yankees cannot survive the emotional hit internally as well as with their fans by letting Aaron Judge go, leads me to believe that he will be in pinstripes not just next year, but for the remainder of his career.
Well, thank you for ending it with that, ending your soliloquy with that, Jeff Passan, because the way you just started off, and you're getting on my nerves because I said you and that damn Tim Kirkjian and Buster Olney, you never ever bring me good news about my Yankees. Never. Y'all always bring me bad news. So the fact that you just said that and you ended it the way that you ended it, I'm very, very happy about that, because I got to tell you something right now. When I look at this brother Aaron Judge, I give him props for betting on himself. I think he deserves a lot of props for that, no doubt about it. What did he turn down? What was it, $250 million that he turned down, Jeff? Was that about right?
Was it? I mean, it was $213 million plus another $17 million for this season. So total was $230 million. Let's put it this way. It wasn't enough. And the Yankees are going to have to pay Stephen A. $100 million plus more to get him now.
Okay, now let me ask you this question, because I'm watching the 61 home runs. I'm watching him bat over 300. I'm watching him do the things that he's been doing. Do the Yankees need to keep him because, you can't let him go to the New York Mets? Or is he somebody that you can see, maybe not 61 home runs, of course, but this is somebody that can be prolific for years to come? Will he be worth that in your estimation, Jeff?
In baseball, contracts like the one Aaron Judge is about to get, generally speaking, they don't turn out very well, especially for hitters. I mean, we've seen Albert Pujols have this resurgence at age 42, but that's the anomaly. That's the exception to the rule. And so the reality is, whoever brings in Aaron Judge, whether it is the New York Yankees, the New York Mets, the Chicago Cubs, the San Francisco Giants, wherever he winds up signing, the first 5 years of that deal are what they're going to be really looking for him to produce in. There's an understanding in baseball, especially with sluggers, especially with bigger guys, that they tend historically not to age particularly well. So when you're bringing in Aaron Judge and spending the $300 million-plus dollars it's going to take to get him, you're doing so in hopes of maximizing your championship run over the next half decade, as opposed to the eighth and ninth years of the deal.
Okay, let me ask you a real question right here, Jeff. If you had to fear that he would leave the New York Yankees, I mean, where do you think the likely destination is for him if he were not to resign in pinstripes?
Inside the industry, Stephen A., the team that everybody points to is the San Francisco Giants. Aaron Judge is from California. It's clear he is very close with his parents, who have been following him around this whole time. And being out in California, I think, is something that would appeal to him. The Giants also are in a transitional phase right now. Buster Posey retired last year. Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt's contracts are going to be up soon. And so to start this rebuild, if you will, with Aaron Judge at the centerpiece of it would be a great move for the Giants. But in reality, we know what the actual answer is, and it is the New York Mets. Steve Cohen is willing to go out and spend more money than every other owner in baseball. And this may be a painful thing for Yankees fans to hear.
I understand it.
But the fact is, especially if the Mets don't win a championship this year, especially if Jacob DeGrom leaves and they have a big hole in their budget that they would love to fill with a 6'7", 280-pound man-child who can roam center field if Brandon Nimmo leaves in free agency too, who can roam right field, who can hit bombs at Citi Field. I mean, everything lines up there for that to be the play for Aaron Judge, to leverage the Yankees if, in fact, it gets to the point where he feels like that exclusive negotiating period at the beginning of free agency isn't going the way that he wants.
First of all, I think that with this guy Cohen, I mean, he's obviously got deep pockets and what have you. To me, whether he, you know, with DeGrom or not, the bottom line is that he could keep DeGrom and still come after Aaron Judge. He doesn't care.
Yes,
that's the kind
absolutely.
Of impression that he gets,
absolutely.
Right? So that's a fear, number one. Number two, if you got DeGrom and you got Scherzer and then you get an extra bat in the Mets lineup, Lord have mercy, that's a problem. Number three, if you are the New York Yankees, to me, that's the number one reason you've got to sign him. See, I know as much as I love Aaron Judge, and I do love him, and I definitely appreciate him this year, my issue is that if you want to go to San Francisco, go ahead and go to San Francisco. I mean, I'll pay you, but if you want to go to San Francisco, yeah, I'll get over it. There's no getting over him going to the Mets. There's no getting over.
Yeah, right.
You can't have a Yankee going over to the Mets. I mean, Robinson Cano did. Who cares? He went to Seattle first, but who cares? He was done by that time. I don't care about that. But you can't have Aaron Judge, fresh off of this season, leaving the Bronx to go to Queens. Now that's when, to me, the Yankees have to step up and pull out the cash, because you can't set that kind of precedent. You can't have that happen. To that you say,
Stephen A., you have spent a lot of times in locker rooms in your career. You know what dynamics are like internally. You know why leaders matter. I spent some time with the Yankees in recent weeks in Milwaukee and in New York. And the one thing that stood out to me, and I'm writing a story about this, and I've talked with all sorts of people about leadership. Aaron Judge is not just the heart and soul of the New York Yankees on the field. Inside that clubhouse, he is the heartbeat, he is the pulse, he is everything. And I think the emotional blow that would exist if he left, the vacuum inside that clubhouse, inside that organization, as powerful as it is to fear the New York Mets going and right. poaching your star, I think right. an even more powerful thing is what happens when you lose him internally and what that does to your club.
But, Jeff, if that's the case, how come they didn't just take care of this last summer? How come they didn't just take care of this before the season? Why didn't they just pay him then? What are the Yankees saying about that?
Yeah, because the truth is, they worried about the wrong things. They worried about age. They yeah. worried that, hey, he's going to be 31 when he hits free agency. And in baseball, after you're 30, you might as well be in a nursing home, Stephen A. That's the way that players are treated these days. And it's wrong. And Aaron Judge, I remember talking with someone at the Yankees at the time. And he said, you know what? If he goes out and proves us wrong and wins an MVP this year, then we will pay him. And I am looking forward to seeing if the New York Yankees put their money where their mouth is, because mm-hmm. Aaron Judge is not only winning the MVP this year, he's doing so in record-breaking fashion.
Yeah.
Last comment. I'll say this, Jeff. Here's where I do support baseball, meaning the baseball teams in this regard. I am all for the players getting all the money they can get. It's the years that has always bothered me, because of what you started off explaining. You're paying for the first 5 years. So the other 5 years right. on a 10-year deal, what are you going to get? Mm-hmm. That's my problem. Give them all the money you can, but front load it in the first 5 years. That's just me.
All right, we got to leave it there. Judge has 19 more homers than anyone else in MLB. And to your point, Jeff, Aaron Boone said he's the most beloved on the team. Jeff, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks,
what
Jeff.
A special night. And history will continue when he gets his next one. But we'll go to the NFL right now, because we got a game tonight, and we'll get to that in just a second. So it's the Dolphins taking on the Bengals in Cincy. Tua Tagovailoa says he's going to play despite what they're calling back and ankle injuries, which caused him to practice only on a limited basis and has listed him as questionable. The Dolphins haven't said what they're going to do yet. Then there's Joe Burrow and the Bengals offense, who got right and looked impressive against the Jets on Sunday. It's Thursday, so you know what that means. Danny O. Dan, how are we feeling this morning?
I feel amazing.
Are you just trying to look like a nerd on purpose? What the hell is with those glasses? I mean, what is that? What is that?
We've had this conversation before. First of all, good morning, Molly.
Good morning.
I have respect. Second of all, your tie looks like you're a Dolphins fan. Third of all, I wear these glasses because I watch tape all week, and I'm staring at a screen right now.
Yeah.
These are blue light glasses. I'm not trying to ruin my eyes with how much tape I watch.
I didn't say there was any problem with you wearing glasses. I said those glasses. Look, well, put it back on. You look better with the glasses on. Go ahead, put it back on. Let's go, Molly.
And I have blue lens glasses, too. I feel you.
Let's go.
I've had a great week, Miles. He's not going to break me.
No, absolutely not. We ignore that nonsense. Yeah. Dan, assuming Tua plays, who do you trust more tonight?
Joe Burrow. I mean, we talk about Joe Burrow. 7 months ago, this dude's in the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, no one talks about Joe Burrow. What's wrong with Joe Burrow? 7 months ago, Joe Burrow is in the Super Bowl. This dude has 24 straight games of completing 60% more of his passes. That's the longest streak ever in the history of the NFL. Last time these two guys played on the same field against each other, Joe threw for like 450 yards on the road and beat Tua. He's born to be a star for these moments. I love Tua. No one is surprised by how well Tua's playing, but we got to put a little bit more respect on Joe Burrow's name. Everyone's looking at Joe right now through the lens of that week one game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he was awful. He played poor, threw four interceptions. Last 2 weeks, over 500 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions, starting to look a little bit more like the Joe Burrow that we know, not the one that didn't practice all preseason because he was in the hospital. I take Joe Burrow. I'm going to take this offense. When they get pressured, he's going to throw the ball downfield. And the reality is this. This Cincinnati defense is for real. There's a reason why this team was in the Super Bowl. I think Joe Burrow is an absolute bona fide rock star, superstar. Give me Joe Burrow.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You sound like you need to be drug tested. First of all, let's look at something here. The Cincinnati Bengals. Who did they just beat? Who was that team?
The Jets?
It was the New York Jets.
Yeah.
First game of the season, who did they lose to? The Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's pump the brakes. Hold on, let's just pump the brakes on how elite their defense is. We'll find out. They're about to go up against Tyreek Hill. They're about to go up against Jaylen Waddle. We'll find out. And again, we got to understand, we got to throw the caveat out there in terms of Tua's health, because obviously he should have been in the concussion protocol as far as I'm concerned. That's just how I feel about it, but that's neither here nor there. Joe Burrow's a stud, and we know that he can ball. I also want to point to his health, Dan, from the standpoint of what he went through this summer with the, I don't know whether it was the appendectomy or his appendix, something.
Right.
But the point is that the health issues, I don't think he's fully recovered from that. And I think that that's something that we need to pay attention to. I want to throw out that caveat to Joe Burrow because we wish him well and we know the brother can ball. But I'm just saying that when you look at Miami's offense, when you got not one but two cats who could go over the top of a defense the way these brothers are capable of doing, I'm just not ruling out the fact that when I look at tonight's matchup, let me see that how elite that Cincinnati defense is then going up against those brothers. Come talk to me then. Because I'm not sold on that. I'm thinking about Tua having a bigger night than Burrow tonight. I'm not talking about long-term, okay, who I trust more. We talk about tonight.
Okay.
Tonight, I'm rolling with Tua.
All right, so first of all, no team in the NFL has 3,000-yard receivers over the last two seasons like Cincinnati. So we're not talking about just the duo of Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek versus Jamar and T. Higgins.
Chase,
we have to
Higgins,
respect,
right?
Tyler Boyd. We have to. Mm-hmm. So that's first of all. Second of all, when you say I'm not sold on that defense yet, this defense in Cincinnati in many ways carried Cincinnati through the playoffs to the Super Bowl. They were one play away from essentially winning the Super Bowl, if not for the Aaron Donald play.
I didn't say they were garbage, though.
But you said I'm not sold on them. They haven't given up a touchdown. They have not given up a touchdown in 20 offensive drives.
Okay, well, in 20 offensive drives, you're going up against
still the NFL.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. You're going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I understand
the Dallas,
that. But we're talking
Pittsburgh Steelers, Dallas Cowboys, and Jets.
Time out. I want to address this because I want us all to be grown-ups when it comes to this point. When we're talking about teams and we're talking about players, we're not comparing them to us. We're talking about you up against your contemporaries.
Sure.
And what you show us going up against your contemporaries. That's all we're talking about here. I'm saying to you, the New York Jets, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and their offense, it's a little bit different than some of the offenses that they're going to go against, particularly the one they're going to go up against in Miami tonight. I know what they bring to the table in Chase Higgins, Boyd, and those boys. I got all of that. I understand that. I'm saying to you, the question, who do you trust more tonight in terms of Tua versus Burrow, I'm thinking Tyreek Hill and Waddle are going to show off tonight. That's what I'm thinking. If I'm wrong, we'll find out. But I think that they're going to have a profound impact on tonight's outcome because I think they're going to get the ball, obviously, from Tua, and they're going to do their thing. That's what I believe.
And that's fair. Here's my thoughts on tonight that are a little bit – Tua hasn't practiced all week. So we're talking about, and candidly, Stephen, he didn't play much on Sunday. I think he threw the ball 18 times. So
that's
he didn't play a ton on Sunday and didn't practice all week. First time in his career that he's experiencing that, so to speak, coming off of that injury, playing on a short week. That's really difficult to do once you're playing against the defense in Cincinnati that is going to have a lot of confusion at the line of scrimmage. So that gives me a little hesitation. Now, I will say this. I'm Cincinnati's offense concerns me. It's a very interesting matchup for me because their offensive line's not playing well. And if you've watched this Miami defense, they're going to get after you with their pass rush. But Cincinnati, if you blitz their offense and you play one-on-one coverage on the outside, you feel great. So I have the question of, it's more for me about what Miami does defensively versus Joe Burrow. Are they going to sit there and say, you know what, we're going to break a little bit of the mold. We're not going to blitz you. We're going to think that we can whoop you up front and not allow Joe to push the ball downfield. Or are they going to say, we are who we are. We're going to blitz Joe Burrow in this offense, and we think that we can cover. That's a dangerous recipe. And that's what I believe that they do. And I just trust Joe, Jamar, T, and Tyler. When they get pressure man coverage, man, they're going to hit the ball, the big ball.
Potentially a rhetorical question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What about giving some trust in Miami's defense? They did go up against Josh Allen. They
Go up against Stephon
Diggs and Gabe Davis and those brothers. So
very
I'm just saying, all right then. So if they're a very, very good unit, Joe Burrow's going to have to go up against them, just like Tua's going to have to go up against that Cincinnati defense. I mean, we you know,
that's fair.
The same things that you're saying about how Burrow can find himself advantageous tonight, I can say the same thing about Tua.
No, listen, I love both players. I think both players are going to have good nights. But who do I trust more? I trust the guy that literally, historically, is breaking records. And 7 months ago was in the Super Bowl and practiced all week. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of this conversation for me.
I'll give you this. I mean, when you talk about, when you talk about love, who you got, I got love for Burrow. I might not trust him to win tonight against Miami, but I got love for Burrow. In other words, his skill set has been proven. All of this love for Tua, I like him. I remember him at Alabama, but he's got to earn some more trust. It's only been three games now.
So really who do you trust more tonight, he got hurt. Joe or Tua?
I'm going with Tua tonight.
Okay.
I'm going with Tua tonight. I'm not changing that. I'm just talking about your long term. When you say you got love for both of them, I'm saying Tua's got to earn it.
Okay,
Burrow
that's
already
fair.
Has. Right.
No, I mean, Tua don't got to earn. I have nothing but unwavering faith in Tua. And I've said this many a times. There is not a quarterback in the league under 25 years old that I will take more than Joe Burrow. I've said that for 2 years now, and nothing has changed.
Cool. Right.
This is the first meeting between Burrow and Tua ever. They were the top two quarterbacks taken in the 2020 draft. But let's get to two quarterbacks taken in the 2018 draft. We have a possible MVP showdown in Baltimore Sunday, when Josh Allen and the Bills will look to get back on track after a tough loss to Miami when they face Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, who are coming off a win over New England. Here's Josh Allen on he and Action Jackson doing their jobs.
You know, it's simple as we're doing what's asked of us. There's a lot of different notions and opinions about both of us coming out of the draft. And we're just trying to find ways to help our team win football games. And, you know, he does it as good as anybody in the league. So, again, it's no simple task for our defense to go out there and play a guy like his caliber. And it's no simple task for our offense to go against a defense and a team of their caliber with the head coach that they've got and the continuity that they've had in Baltimore for a long time.
Allen and Jackson are two of the favorites to win MVP this season, and for good reason. The two quarterbacks rank at the top in nearly every category among QBs, including being 1 and 2 in passing touchdowns, so far this season. This game is going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait for it. Stephen A., I'll ask you this. Who do you think's going to have the bigger game? Is it Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson?
I think it's going to be Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson's going to put on the show. That's just my personal opinion. I will say this. Let me say this. They both have something in common. I know one was drafted 7th overall. The other was drafted, you know, dead last in the first round. I get all of that. But both of them are quarterbacks who should have been taken earlier in that draft. Baker Mayfield was the number 1 overall pick. Sam Darnold was the number 3 overall pick. So you had a slew of teams, the Giants included, albeit because they picked Saquon Barkley, who passed up on Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming. And some people were saying that he was a stud, and they spoke to the potential that he had. And there was a few people who dropped the ball in that regard. And obviously Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. Having said all of that, his accuracy seems to be a bit better. His running ability is just sublime. We see what he's done. If it wasn't for him getting hurt the last 4 years of last season, he would have had 3 consecutive 1,000-yard rushing seasons, and he's clearly en route to a 4th. That would have been the case had he had 1,000-plus yards rushing last season, but 3 in the last 4 years, he's en route to that now because he's got about 243 yards rushing. He's got a 79-yard touchdown run. The brother's electrifying with his feet, and we understand that. And so he just brings a different dimension and a different level of fear. And when you couple that with some of the injuries that the Buffalo Bills are said to have had on the defensive side of the ball, I think that Lamar Jackson is going to be in a position to take advantage of that. Let's not forget Devin Duvernay, not Ava Duvernay, Devin Duvernay has been flat out balling. Give him love. Bateman, give him love too. Andrews is Andrews. Dobbins hopefully will be back. I think Lamar Jackson is going to have a big game.
I'm going to say Josh Allen. And it's because I really believe that this feels like a must-win for the Buffalo Bills. Okay. I don't think that home field advantage is going to have more of a beneficial impact on anybody in the AFC outside of Buffalo. That crowd and that fan base is so rabid right now to host the AFC Championship game and to have their team go to the Super Bowl. That quarterback and his ability to throw in awful weather is such an advantage, and they know it, and everybody else in the league knows it. You cannot lose this game. You can't lose to a division opponent on the road in Miami and then go on the road versus another AFC team who's going to be in the playoffs and lose and fall behind essentially 0-2 when it comes to that mark. I believe that this feels like a must win for the Buffalo Bills. That and also, Stephen A., the fact that, you know, there's a little bit of a dent in the armor, I guess, coming off of that Miami game. This is the darling, the Super Bowl favorite. They're dominating everybody. And now there's a little bit of can they win the close game conversation. 0-7 in their last single score games when it comes to a loss, I believe. The injuries. Can this team overcome some of the injuries that so many champions in many ways have to? This Baltimore Ravens secondary this year is giving up 350 yards a game. 350 yards a game. That's coming off of last year when they gave up 280. I'm shocked how poorly they're playing. That means basically an average quarterback throws for like 290 against this defense right now. Josh Allen should sniff 400. That's my expectation of what Josh should do versus this secondary that for some reason is struggling to play and communicate. The Bills cannot fall to 2-2. They cannot fall to 0-2 and with a loss to Baltimore and Miami. Josh Allen is in many ways, in a good way, a maniac. This dude is as competitive as we know Tom Brady to be, as we know a guy like Lamar Jackson to be. Josh got to have his best game of the season. I expect that he will, and Buffalo needs to win this game.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if Buffalo ended up winning this game despite Lamar Jackson having a bigger game statistically than Josh Allen. I think because I expect him to run the football effectively and whatever. They could turn the ball over. There are a myriad array of ways that you could end up losing this game, even with Lamar Jackson playing lights out. And I get everything you're saying. I'm co-signing on everything that you're saying about Buffalo and what they bring to the table, with the exception of one thing. I don't believe this is as much of a must-win game as you proclaim. I think that Buffalo is lethal enough that once they get their ducks in order, they can go on a prolific run. It's not the end of the world if they lose this game this Sunday. It'll be 4 games into the season. They'll be 2-2 with 13 games to go. I'm not acting like it's not important. I'm not acting like this is not a game you should win. But it's not the end of the world. if either of these teams lose this game, Buffalo because of who they are and Baltimore because they're in the AFC North. I don't believe it's like that.
Two reasons why, though, Stephen A. Number one, this would be the second straight game that you're dealing with injuries as a football team. That maybe a couple defensive line are out as your secondary has lost some players. And again, that's when you start to have the doubts creep in of, well, you know, Mike is such a big deal that, you know, maybe we can't play. Our starting corner's out. How is our defense going to still be number one in the league again? And you start to feel like panic mode. Okay, can we actually get this done? And in the AFC, if this was a different, you know, if they played inside of a dome, Stephen A., I wouldn't have these feelings of home field advantage. But having been there on Monday Night Football and watching this fan base and seeing how it impacted the game, I'm sitting there saying, my goodness.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Go ahead.
How can in the middle of me try to be serious?
I'm listening.
You act like a child, man.
I just wanted to see how it feels. That's all. I just wanted to see how it feels. Okay.
You know who you look like?
What are you gonna tell me?
You look like Urkel.
Yeah, they always tell me that.
Man, I don't even know what I'm saying. So home field advantage and the reality of the weather. I don't know. I honestly don't believe that many teams are capable of going up there and feeling confident having to deal with the elements in relation to Buffalo.
Yeah, but you're acting like if you lose it, you're 2-2, man. Listen, man, you got 13 games left to go in the season. Let's look at this. Let's look at this reasonably, okay? You can go on a run, and then you look at the rest of the AFC conference. Everybody's got a loss. You got a loss in the AFC West. You got a loss in the AFC South
but
and
you're
North.
Behind just, Baltimore and Miami,
I understand that, but what kind of role are they going to go on? Or from a longevity perspective, I don't know about that. You're gonna get Miami back. Because that had a lot to do with that South Florida sunshine, catching cramps and all of that stuff if you digs in the crew. I get all of that. They're going to get them when they come to Buffalo. Let me tell you something right now. Buffalo got a better chance of going to Miami and winning in the postseason than Miami has of going to Buffalo and winning to Buffalo in the postseason.
It's literally my point.
I can tell you that much.
That's my point.
I'm just saying, but the point is, Buffalo can win anywhere. Everybody can't win in Buffalo. And I think you got 13 games. You can pull it out. I think you got it. I'm not worried about it. There's not as much win for Buffalo as you're saying.
It's not. No, I didn't intimate that it was if they lose, their season's over. But yeah. It feels like.
They have to win this game. They have to win this game.
Because
no,
it feels.
Don't.
Yes, they do. Like it feels. Stephen A., I'm telling you, man, you lose two in a row on the road to good AFC contenders. Now you're behind them when it comes to potential home field advantages. They got the tiebreaker. It's your second straight game of having to play with some of those guys that are injured. You're starting to say, man, we got some chinks in the armor. We're going to have to fix this. We saw the emotion of last week. I love Buffalo. They are my pick. In many ways, I think they are still the best team in football. But this feels like one of those games that they got to kind of go rectify what happened this past weekend.
All right. Just from a politically correct standpoint, is it chinks or is it kinks in armor? Which word is appropriate, Molly? Which
kinks.
Which one is it? Is
kinks.
It's kinks?
Kinks.
Kinks?
Yeah.
Or chinks?
Kinks in the armor?
I don't know. I
no,
just want to make sure.
I know what you're trying to say.
We do try to. We just want to make sure because
that
what's the right fit. Right,
we avoid that one. We'll avoid that one. Yeah, we'll
right,
avoid that one
sure.
For now.
Okay.
But we'll leave it there because we got plenty more. Dan, do you still want to stick around? You want to stick around with this guy? Because if you need to go,
I'm
you're
2-0 right now. I'm 2-0 on the day right now.
Okay. Please.
Okay, he's feeling good.
It's time for a quick take. Let's get a huge matchup on Sunday between Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs, taking on Tom Brady and the Bucks. Dan, what's the biggest thing you're watching for in this one?
Goliath versus Goliath. What I mean is Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback ever when it comes to dealing versus pressure. And Todd Bowles' defense in Tampa Bay is one of the best blitzing defenses in all of football. They lead the NFL in sacks when they pressure. I don't think he's going to change that, certainly without a Chiefs offense that doesn't have Tyreek Hill. So if they do, how does Patrick Mahomes handle it and that pressure without number 10 by his side? I'm excited to see when Tampa Bay pressures Patrick. Is it the Patrick of old that has absolutely crushed man blitz and teams that do it well? Or does he struggle a little bit? What's the plan? That is the key to this game. If Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes of old, they win. If he doesn't, Tampa Bay absolutely has a shot to steal this game.
All right, let's keep it going. The only argument against the Eagles' high-flying undefeated season is the competition they faced thus far this week. They have a sneaky tough test when Philly's former head coach Doug Peterson and the 2-1 Jags head to the city of brotherly love. Here's Coach Sirianni on staying focused regardless of success.
That's something when you're concerned about getting better every single day, it's and your sole focus is how do I get better? 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 It is easier to block out noise, whether that's people telling you how good you are or people telling you how bad you are. A clip that we showed today was of Tiger Woods and how when he was on the top, and this is what we showed in our team meeting today, when he was at the top of his game and playing as good a golf as anybody's ever played ever, right, he was still obsessed with getting better. And he says that, I'm obsessed with getting better. I'm obsessed with being, you know, the best. And you know, that's a guy that was playing the best golf of anybody ever. And what a great example for us.
Absolutely. Let's remind you that Stephen A. has the Eagles as the top team on his A list, the Bills, Packers, Dolphins, Ravens, rounding out the top five. And look who is here. Your girl found yourself a friend. Damian Woody.
Go.
Top of the morning to you, sir. Great to see you.
Good morning,
it's been
Molly.
Too long.
Looking magnificent,
thank
as usual.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's great to have you here in studio.
Yeah. What's up? Dano, what's up, baby? What's going on?
Sorry.
What we got going on?
You look good,
y'all repping now?
First of all, why are you standing? I'm trying to figure that out. That's number one. Number two, could y'all get a closer look at the brother? It's too dark. I need to see the tie. It looks like, it's glowing like that. Why is he sitting in my seat? Sitting in my seat?
Change of plans.
Wood,
did you hear the news this morning? Did you hear the breaking news?
What's that? What's that, my brother?
Stephen A. got hired as the North Carolina basketball coach.
Oh.
Not gonna happen.
Hey, but this seat Carolina, right here.
I love, but my man Hubert Davis. My man Hubert Davis is doing a hell of a job.
He got that Ecto Cooler tie on.
Okay.
No, yeah, exactly. He wasn't referring to Hubert Davis. He was going back to the Roy Williams days. But good try.
I know that, but I'm just saying. But he was talking about I got hot. I'm just telling you, Hubert Davis.
No,
Woody,
by the way,
Woody, take your tie and lift it up. Your tie's supposed to be up a little bit more.
What you talking about, man?
Get it together.
I'm good.
Let's go.
All I know is that this seat feels good right here. I can get used to this right now.
Don't do that. Y'all gonna miss me. All right, go ahead.
I like the pop of neon. I like what we're working with.
You.
All right, do you agree with him that the Eagles are the best team in football?
No, I don't agree. I love what the Eagles have done. You know, Jalen Hurts has absolutely been playing fantastic football. The things that he's improved upon are the things that we've been talking about, you know, this whole offseason. The Eagles might be they might have the best roster in the National Football League. There's no question about that. But for me, in my mind, I'm still going to go with the Buffalo Bills. And I know everyone's going to say, they lost to the Miami Dolphins last week down in Miami. Anyone that watched that game knows that the Buffalo Bills should have won that game. I mean, you're talking about a lopsided statistical game. That's one for the ages down there last week in that game against Miami. You're talking about a team that had over 40 minutes of time of possession. Josh Allen went off. It was really Josh Allen in that game last week against Miami where he had a couple critical plays that he just didn't execute on. Those are the plays that we usually see Josh Allen execute on. He just didn't do it in those critical moments in that Miami Dolphins game. And, you know, like I said, that was a lopsided game. So I'm going to give a slight edge to the Buffalo Bills. I still think even with their loss to Miami, the Bills are the best team in the National Football League, in my opinion.
Well, listen, let me say this to you. I don't mind people that have that opinion. I get that because we know there were some mitigating circumstances that influenced the outcome against Miami. I understand it. But let's also give props where it's due to what we've seen from the Philadelphia Eagles. Remember when I talk about the best teams in the NFL, the list is fluid. It's fluid. You know what I'm saying? What goes on today may not necessarily be the case next week. We only talk about week three now, so the first 3 weeks of the season. We understand what we've seen from the Buffalo Bills. We get what their potential is, and we understand that. But can we give the Eagles some love? Jalen Hurts is an MVP candidate. He ain't Lamar Jackson. But damn it, he's an MVP candidate. The brother has worked on his game. He's throwing a football quite effectively. Okay, he's only thrown one interception thus far this season in the first three games. Okay, the brother is balling, and we got to give love where love is due. Plus, he's a dual threat. He's not as elite as Lamar Jackson in that category, but he's up there, no doubt about it. Then you look at their receivers in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, got it at the tight end spot. And you see they've got weapons. Miles Simon, this brother's running with the football. We understand what he brings to the table. Miles Sanders, I'm sorry. We know what he brings to the table. You're looking at it from that perspective, all right? So you got a running game. You got a passing game. You got an offensive line that can run, block, and pass protect, okay? And you got a quarterback that has elevated his level of play. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you got Darius Slade that everybody's been raving about with Maddox and those boys in the secondary. They've upgraded themselves. There were some questions what they were going to do with their safety position coming into the season. But the defense seems in tow. They got 12 sacks on the season thus far. They get to the quarterback, all right? They can run the football. They can throw the football, you know? And I look at all of those different things. The level of competition, everybody's got an argument there. Because the Commanders, as far as I'm concerned, the only good thing about them is the fact that Jason Wright is their president and they got people in their front office that ain't engaging in the shenanigans that Daniel Snyder purportedly was engaging in. But in terms of what their product is on the football field, they're trash, at least thus far, okay? So we look at that, and then I say to myself, okay, I got all of that, but I like what I'm seeing from the Philadelphia Eagles, and I don't think that should be ignored.
The two best teams in football are the Buffalo Bills and the Green Bay Packers. Number one.
Green Bay Packers.
Number two, Stephen A. From now on, can we, when you do this list, can we just call it Stephen A's A-list or Stephen's A-list of the top five teams who just happened to win last weekend? Can we do that? I mean, everyone is – it's basically the team who won the weekend before.
I had picked people. Well, I had picked people. Well, first of all, take notes. You think you're trying to insult me when, in fact, you bite off me.
Because
when you're doing NFL Live, you emulate what you see on First Take. So you can get it twisted if you want to. That ain't going to work. Secondly, I've had a couple of teams on the list that actually lost games.
I mean, Buffalo
it's not always about winning. Sometimes
Buffalo
you can lost. Listen. So, exactly. Buffalo lost, and they were still on my top five.
Stephen A., why are you getting defending yourself
here? Why is he getting so emotional,
Molly? This is so unlike you. Why are you getting defensive and defending yourself? You don't need to do that.
It's a debate show. It's a debate show. What do you mean? You want me to sit here and be quiet? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not productive. That's not productive. The American people want to hear what I have to say. And I approve that message. Go ahead. You know what I'm saying?
You're the only one who approves it. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, you're one of a kind, man. You are one of a kind. All right. I still say Buffalo and Green Bay. Buffalo has outgained their opponents by 682 yards. That is the biggest jump through the first 3 weeks of the season, or the biggest differential since the 2007 Patriots, who just happened to go undefeated during the regular season. I'm not going to knock Buffalo because of the loss down in Miami and Woody kind of detailed how that happened. Green Bay, because it's the number one run game in football with a top five defense, and they're doing that without their rookies being studs right now. And their rookies, and I said this going into the season, them in Kansas City had the most pressure on their rookie class to really elevate. And I believe guys like Quay Walker and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, like those guys are going to kind of continue to accelerate as this season goes on. That's why I bank on Buffalo and Green Bay still. I love Philadelphia. I said they were going to be the most difficult team to tackle. They are. To defend Philadelphia, candidly, you got to be big enough to cover A.J. Brown, skilled enough to cover Devontae Smith. You got to be strong enough to cover Dallas Goedert, and you got to be fast enough to cover Quez Watkins. Good luck. You got to give a ton of credit to Howie Roseman, their general manager, and Nick Sirianni, their head coach. They have done an incredible job of building this roster, picking Jalen Hurts when I thought it was crazy, giving him the job. Here's my hesitation with Philadelphia, guys. Last 2 years, these are the quarterbacks that Philadelphia has beaten. Jared Goff, Jake Fromm, Trevor Siemian, Taylor Heineke, Matt Ryan, Garrett Gilbert, Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater, Zach Wilson, Kirk Cousins, and someone else this season already. They haven't beaten a star quarterback. And that's until that happens for Philadelphia. Well, I got to see that they can go be a star, and Derek Carr, I believe, a star quarterback.
Well, Biggie, I'll let you chime in a second. Just give me 1 second with this dude right here, right? Look, Dan Orlovsky, all right? First game was against the Giants. I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills now. First game was against the Rams. I apologize. That game against the Rams, you got a situation where Matt Stafford elbow was the story of the preseason, stuff like that. Okay, you got Cup, but what's the other weapon? Allen Robinson, you didn't utilize him. You got to ingratiate stuff in there. Von Miller's still going on the defensive side of the ball. And then you had Tennessee, who looked awful the first two games of this season, okay? So when we talk about Buffalo, we got to take that into consideration as well before what happened in Miami last weekend. We know Buffalo's legit. But that's why I can make an argument about the Eagles, because I can make an argument against the Buffalo Bills based on their level of competition over the first 2 weeks. That's just me. Go ahead.
I would say the one last thing about the Bills. I think the one thing to watch out for them is their secondary. We've seen their injuries in the secondary. Jordan Poyer, their all-pro safety, he's out for the year. You know, they're starting
Micah Hyde.
Yes.
They got a bunch of young guys playing in the secondary that – I think that bears watching for the Buffalo Bills move forward. I think that's really, to me, that's like their only weakness is those injuries in the secondary.
Would I agree with that? That's a fair point. But the two things I would push back on that, Micah Hyde's a big loss, but Tre'Davious White, their all-pro corner, is going to come back hopefully in the next month or so off of ACL injury. Yep. That's massive. Then Kyer Elam, their first-round pick out of Florida at cornerback, is slowly getting a little bit better for them, what they want to do. So as I get the hesitation on their secondary, I believe there's reinforcements coming to help that secondary out. If teams are both teams are relatively healthy. Buffalo plays Philadelphia. You're taking Philly, Stephen A.?
No, I'm not going that far, but right now I would, because the list is fluid.
We'll leave it there. Philly trying to get to 4-0. The last time that happened was 2004 when they played in the Super Bowl.